Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. These are increasingly challenging times, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends. Please join us on Facebook and Twitter to help spread the word. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, a full line of herbal tinctures, Coco Mojo, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to www.survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts. Or call them at 866-762-9238. 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao. Today is Tuesday, June 7th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And here we are, gathered together once again to discuss the matters at hand. So what should we talk about, my friends? Should we follow the course of the sanitized news headlines of the unfree American press or the cable TV news, the talking heads? It seems like they are fixated with nonsense, at least most of the time. The nonsense of Hollywood stars and starlets and their adultery. The nonsense of entertainment divas, what they wore to the royal gathering of Babylonian parties. The nonsense of politicians who are addicted to their fleshly escapades and their embarrassing phone calls and text messages and Twitter announcements. There is nonsense in the land, my friends, but this nonsense seems to be the fool's entertainment or the theater for the exiles of Babylon. American exiles, unaware of their predicament, their future, and their coming fate. My friends, it is quite amazing. History is in motion right now. The world is witnessing the fall of an empire, and most of the fallen citizens have no clue that this is happening. They have no idea that these things are going on. And as they go their merry way, tranquilized, with glazed over eyes, Empire America is at the cliff. And the citizens have all been corralled and herded into their destiny. And I find it very interesting that most of you that are listening from other parts of the world, you can see what's happening to America. It's very obvious. It's very clear. Most of the world can tell that America's in trouble, but most Americans can't. Very interesting to be a resident of the land and not see that it's on fire. To be a resident of the land of liberty and not notice that there's an earthquake happening under their feet. If you happen to be a new listener here on this program, we talk about these things. We talk about what time it is. We talk about the challenges that are facing America, the West, and the rest of the world. Right now, my friends, there can be no doubt that the clock is different. And we're going to talk about those things today. We're in the month of June now. The reports are in, and the reports are not very positive. Every quarter that goes by, the reports come in. And this pattern has been going on since 07, then 08, 09, 2010. Now here we are in 2011. The reports continue coming in, the quarterly reports, the jobs numbers, the housing numbers, and they continue to stay diminished. They continue to stay flustered. But in the midst of all that mess, we still have the mainstream media telling us that all is well. My friends, we cannot fall for the lies of the mainstream media. If you're a new listener and you're used to listening to the mainstream media, you might find it a little bit offensive that a person on a program would dare say that the media is sanitized. The media is not your friend. Now, if you are a traditional conservative Republican, possibly you may say, well, Nathan, you're not telling me anything I don't know, because we all know that CNN is full of liars. CNN is a bunch of liberals. That's why I listen to Rushbow and Fox. Fox News tells the truth. Sean Hannity does not lie. Bill O'Reilly is a good man, and he doesn't lie. That's why I listen to them. My friends, it's all of them. And over the last few years, we have discussed these matters. Fox News may be a little bit more conservative when it comes to some political ideals. However, in the big picture, they also sanitize the news. And if it was possible for anybody to have every channel on at the same time, if you could have CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and all the talking heads at the same time, it would be very, very interesting that they seem to stick to the same stories and then all go to a commercial at the same time. And then after the commercial, it's a whole new topic, but it's the same topic from all the channels. Or maybe they will alternate. CNN will talk about the Joplin tornado while Fox talks about Obama. And then after the commercial, CNN talks about Obama and Fox talks about the Joplin tornado. Folks, the news is sanitized. That's why there are many, many people that have gotten tired of this mess. They're waking up and they're finding out that we have been given a lie. There's a great delusion over the land. There's a propaganda machine in play over the land that releases the sanitized, acceptable stories that they're allowed to say. How is it possible that the Fukushima reactor had a meltdown, and now it's been admitted that all three reactors... Oh, by the way, folks, news release, breaking news. If you haven't heard this, this just came out in the last few days. TEPCO announced from Japan that the reactors did go into meltdown right after the earthquake. Soon after, all three of them, they were in meltdown. Also, they have admitted that the radiation that's come out of the reactors is now surpassing what was in Chernobyl. In fact, in the first week, the reactors released 40% of Chernobyl's total radiation. They did that in the first week, back in March. So we have March, April, May, here we are in June. Yes, that's right, folks. All of that radiation has been going into the sky, crossing the Pacific Ocean, and landing in America as rain, as tornadoes, as floods. But you weren't told about this. Fox News covered the story when it initially happened, and then they stopped. CNN did the same thing. Then they stopped. And they seem to all stop at the same time. How is that possible? Why would they do it? If Fox News is so fair and balanced and fair to warn us on the poison in the air, why are they not warning us now? That's the big question I have. So there can be no other conclusion. They're all in it together. They're a bunch of liars, and they're not going to tell you the truth. So my friends, a lot of people are waking up to this fact. Those of you that have been regular listeners to this program, you know this. This is no surprise. You've been awake for years. Those of you that are coming on board and you're new at this, welcome to being awake. In order for us to get the truth, we have to go to the alternative media and possibly going to news websites from other countries. Nathan, all you're doing is just knocking the American media. I'm sorry, folks. The American media has an agenda, and that agenda is to corral the sheep, which are Americans, keep them at bay, keep them settled, and keep them relaxed. And if they were actually reporting the true stories, how many of them would stay relaxed? The American citizens really knew that the empire of America was in the middle of being dismantled right now. They would be showing up at the steps of the Capitol with their torches and pitchforks. But they won't do that, because they're too tranquilized with their video games and their zombie movies and their entertainment and their iPods and their text messages and Twitter accounts. So here we are, folks, in the midst of the greatest demolition of an empire. We're witnessing it right now, my friends. The residents of the empire have no clue that this is going on. And as the numbers continue to come out, we are seeing over and over, every month, every quarter, the numbers for the housing recovery or non-recovery are now worse than during the Great Depression. The amount of houses that have depreciated and the percentage of depreciation has now surpassed the Great Depression, folks. During the Great Depression, houses depreciated in the low 30s. I believe it was 31%. And now the numbers have come out. When they average them out over the entire country, houses have depreciated 33% or even higher. Now, of course, there are some locales where the houses have depreciated 50% or even much higher. Places in Nevada or Florida or California. But when it's all averaged together, overall, we have now surpassed the Great Depression. So again, I throw this question out, my friends. If the numbers are surpassing or just as bad as the Great Depression, why do they say that we're in a recovery or it's just a recession or at worst, it was a quote unquote great recession? You see, folks, the telling of history is at the mercy of whoever types the words on the page. And right now, the words that are being typed on the pages are lies. CNN Money reported just recently that Walmart's core shoppers are running out of money faster than they did a year ago. What does that mean? That means that if you have a salaried worker that gets paid at the beginning of the month and they run to Walmart to buy their food, Walmart keeps the records, and Walmart is noticing that the Walmart shoppers who are living paycheck to paycheck, who typically buy a lot of things at the beginning of the month, are not shopping as the month gets toward the end. So the stores do not have as much traffic toward the end of the month. That means that people are running out of money faster. And it means that purchases are dropping off toward the end of the month because they're broke. Now, why is this happening, folks? How can this be? It's a number of reasons. One of them is because a lot of the people are unemployed and they're living off of their unemployment checks. Another reason is because they're on food stamps and the food stamps run out toward the end of the month. And then another one is because the prices of food and goods are increasing. They're climbing. Inflation is here. Inflation is having a battle with the wallets of many Americans, and those Americans do not have enough money at the end of the month. That's reality. And in spite of Obama saying that the economy is in recovery, things are better, it's going to be okay, the numbers tell a different story. Layoffs continue. Massive, massive layoffs are happening in state governments and city governments, police departments, teachers, state employees, city employees. They're still continuing to get laid off. State governments are now getting to the bottom of the pot and they're licking the bowl and they're trying to find ways to raise money to pay their bills. Folks, here we are in June of 2011. I've been reporting that the municipal budgets of many cities are going to be severely challenged as we get to the end of the year. I've shared some stories. Meredith Whitney has talked about the municipal bond crisis that is still going to be coming when cities can no longer pay their municipal bonds. And when county and state local governments cannot pay their bonds, we're going to see cities go into bankruptcy and default. All of those things are facing us right now. I haven't been talking about the financial challenges that are facing many Americans lately because we've been talking about earth changes and storms and killer tornadoes and the flooding and those type of stories, the radiation in Fukushima in Japan. We've been talking about all of those things. But while all of those things have been going on, my friends, we still have the collapse of the dollar underway right now. We still have, and by the way, let me say this, the American Depression still in play, because that's what's going on right now. We are in a depression. Unemployment continues to rise. However, a report did come out in the last few days that, get this, folks, if you can believe it, last month, in the month of May, America saw an increase of 54,000 new jobs. Sounds exciting, right? Well, it turns out that out of those 54,000 new jobs, half of them were for McDonald's. So half of the increases for jobs were for flipping burgers in America. So that's the new hope for America, flipping burgers. My friends, during the course of this ministry over the last few years, the Holy Spirit has shared some prophetic words, some prophetic dreams he has allowed me to have to share with all of you. And I'm not the only one, so I don't want to say that I'm the only one, but the Holy Spirit has tried to warn that hard times are coming to America, that judgment's coming to America, and that America is going to fall as an empire. The dollar's going to collapse, and Americans are going to find themselves living in second and third world conditions. That's the future of America. I don't talk about it every program. Every now and then I talk about it, so On this program, I wanted to bring these things up because the reports have been coming in. Some of you might have read them. Perhaps some of you that are new listeners might have found yourself under a false sense of security because you were told that the recession's over and things are going to turn around. Folks, please do not be deceived. The challenge is here, and this time period is going to last for a while. Now, up to this point, someone might say, Nathan, thanks a lot for all the gloom and doom. Thanks for the sadness and the anxiety. Now I won't be able to sleep tonight. My friends, the reason that I share these things is so that we can go past these things, so that we can learn to process these things, understand these things, so that we can have the strength to deal with them. We talk about that over and over. So I don't want to just talk about how terrible the gloom and doom is. I know that to concentrate only on the sad reports of America being in the red, that's not good if we just concentrated on that. So I want to also talk about some other things. But in order to talk about the remedy and in order to talk about the challenge for all of us that we face, the spiritual challenge, the emotional challenge, the mental challenge to try to be strong through these things, step one is always an admission. It is always facing the truth. It is always being willing to see our situation, to see our need, to see where we are, to evaluate our position, our location. It has to start there, my friends. That's why I share these things. Not just to sound negative and anti-loving kindness of God. You know, I've gotten some emails recently that said, Nathan, talk about the grace of God. Don't talk about doom. There's no hope when you talk about doom. Well, for those of you that have sent those emails and said those things, if you were to have listened to the entire programs, and you can go to my archives at watchmanscry.com, go to the audio page, and every one of the messages where I share what time it is, I also share the remedy. God has instructed me to also offer the remedy. God is the remedy. God gives us the answer. He gives us the formula. But you know, a lot of people who are living confidently, who may think they have no need in the entire world, Jesus even talked about that guy. The guy that said, my barns are not big enough, so I'm going to make them bigger and fill them up because everything is great. But according to the parable Jesus told, that person died suddenly. Thou fool, today your soul will be required of thee. If that person knew that they were about to die, they probably would have taken care of some business and gotten their house in order. So that's why I am talking about the situation first. My friends, America is at the cliff. We have experienced the beginnings of a depression. The numbers don't lie. The accounting spreadsheet does not lie. The jobs report does not lie. The housing numbers don't lie. We're there, folks. The laid-off news is telling the truth. We are approaching 45 million Americans on food stamps. That tells the truth. So what are we going to do about this? How do we deal with this? How do we deal with living inside the borders of an empire that's crashing and falling apart? How are we supposed to process that? Nathan, thanks a lot for telling me. Now what? What am I supposed to do about it? In theory, I guess a person could say, well, I'm not going to worry about it and go back to sleep and just play their video games, watch their American Idol, and ignore what's happening until another event visits their town, until another story of great sadness and sorrow arrives where they live. Right now, my friends, we cannot be affording to taking these things lightly. So it is very important that we understand what time it is. And it's not easy to face these things. I know that. It's not easy to talk about them. And those of you that have been on board for long enough that have tried to share these things with others, you know it's not easy to share these things with others. People don't want to accept it. But we still have to process this, my friends. So in order to learn about this, there are many elements to be aware of. We have to have realization. We have to process it. We have to plan around it. We have to prepare for it. We have to try to preserve the things that we can to the best of our ability. We have to have discernment, and we have to warn others. All of this takes effort. It takes time. It takes adjusting, and it also takes sacrifice, my friends. It takes courage. It takes bravery to face it, and it also takes humbleness to call upon God to intervene and to help us. It takes management to divide the time Because we need to address all of these things, folks. Now, this is what I want to talk about for the remainder of this program. Pretty soon the break's going to come, but after the break, we're going to finish talking about it. But what I want to concentrate on now is the dividing of the time, being fruitful during this season with the time that we have. Also to be balanced with the time. Now, what does that mean? That means that it is possible to be imbalanced. And it's imperative that we include and that we understand that there needs to be a balance to how we face these things. I've had some phone calls with some friends that have told me, Nathan, you know, lately I've been just getting overwhelmed with preparation, with all of the doom. I have doom overload. I have doom fatigue. And I've actually found that I'm not very happy lately. I have no joy. I'm fighting depression. I'm fighting anxiety. And I don't like it, Nathan, but I'm awake and I know this is happening. So what do I do? How do I face this? You know, folks, that's a very, very important thing to think about. And I want to talk about that because I have a feeling that there are a lot of you that may be challenged with the same thing. You're trying to get prepared, but you don't want to get depressed. You don't want to be overwhelmed with worries and fears and anxieties for your loved ones, for yourself. So we're going to talk about how do we deal with these things? How do we balance it out? On the second half of the show, folks, we'll talk about all these things. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. Not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system, and it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, June 7th. Folks, I want to say real quick, if you have been getting blessed by these messages, please take the matter to God. We appreciate your support. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho. That's two words, Priest River, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com. Before the break, we were talking about having the realization and the honesty to understand what time it is? You know, folks, when you think about it, it's your choice to be either awake or asleep. But in the midst of that challenge, we are also faced with, okay, Nathan, I want to know about these things. I want to understand them, but the more I learn, I become more overwhelmed. So how do I deal with that? Because that's no fun. I have doom overload. So I would actually rather not worry about it, and then at least I'm living my life. So that's what I want to address right now, folks. It seems that a lot of individuals that are trying to be awake are challenged with this. They want to be getting ready, but then they become anxious, and they find that when they get anxious and get overwhelmed, they get fatigue, and they don't want to prepare any longer. So is it possible to continue to prepare and to understand that things are going to be challenging, but to still have joy in our life? Is it possible to have joy in the midst of doom? I guess that's a better way to ask. What do you think, folks? Whenever you go online and you research a lot of the news stories and topics of things that are happening around the world, and you find out that Big Brother is making the vice tighter and tighter, when you see that Big Brother is coming up with new policy that's going to take away more and more of our freedoms, how does it affect you? Do you become overwhelmed with sadness? Do you find yourself anxious and scared and fearful? Or have you learned how to deal with it and you're able to thrust past the scary part of it and continue doing what you're supposed to be doing? I know that a lot of listeners are at different spiritual levels and at different emotional levels, at different levels as far as what they're going through in life right now. They're experiencing different challenges. They're all at a different location as far as maybe a purging that might be happening to them spiritually. Some of you may be in the darkest time of your life. Maybe you feel depressed and overwhelmed. And then perhaps there are some of you that you've just entered this journey. We're all at different levels. So with all of us that are listening to this program, those of us that are of the body of Christ, children of God, we're saved, born again, but still we're challenged and we're faced with anxiety or sadness. How do we get over this? Is it possible to experience all of the challenges and continue with happiness, as I said a moment ago? You know, folks, this first world living that the majority of us have only known our entire life, we've never known poverty like the rest of the world, like a third world country. Most of them have no clue what it feels like for a Haitian or someone down in South America who lives in a grass hut with no running water. But we're used to those things. So the thought of losing some of those things is scary because it's change, and change is hard. And the older we get, it's even more challenging. I'm reminded of the early pioneers that lived in the homesteads of, you know, the territories of America when it was untamed, when there were still Native Americans living in the land. And the early pioneers would get their homestead and they would try to tame the land. And if you look at the lifestyle requirements of an early pioneer, there was a lot of work that was required of those people. First of all, they knew that if they didn't build a root cellar, in addition to their tiny little house on the prairie, if they didn't build their root cellar and have food in it, if it wasn't stored and full by the time the fall crop was harvested, they would not make it through the winter. So when they were working in the fields and tilling and harvesting and doing all the things that needed to be done to harvest their food and store it for the winter, if they didn't do this, they were going to die. If they didn't store their food, they were going to starve to death. And that was how life was. That was just the fact of the matter. There was no getting around it. There was no crying about it or whining about it or complaining about it or protesting about it. That's just the way it was. So our forefathers blazed the trail of early America with these requirements. They knew that they had to prepare for that blizzard that was coming. So while they were preparing at the end of their harvest, and they were tired and sweaty and dehydrated working out in the fields, did they have joy? They knew that it was going to be a rough winter. Were they happy? You see, folks, I am very sure that most of them did, because that was just the way it was. That was the lifestyle. And they knew that they worked very hard during a good part of the week. And then on Sunday, many of them would all assemble at the one-room schoolhouse, and they would have church. And then they would have their picnic in the afternoon, and they had fun and played games and told jokes, and they enjoyed their lives. They had joy. And when we look back at the diaries of our forefathers, they didn't whine and complain and they weren't depressed. But what made the difference? Why were they able to find joy or happiness or contentment? Why were they able to find it in the midst of the high mortality rate that they were faced with compared to how it is now here in America? So when I think about that, folks, I conclude this. We have to realize a new way of thinking. We have to process a new way of thinking, and we have to be able to, with maturity, realize that it could always be worse. Others have had it much worse, and that it's not the end of the world when we have it as bad as what we're going through. A lot of Americans are losing things right now. Their shiny possessions, the nice things that are expensive, and it's hard to lose those things. But when compared with people in other parts of the world, is it really as bad as the things that they face? It's about perspective, my friends. And I know that just saying that doesn't change the formula and the equation for a lot of people. I know that just saying that doesn't take the mud that's inside of people's houses because their house was flooded out. I know it doesn't change that. But still, my friends, we have to try. And we have to try to have a different perspective and look at it through another lens, a different lens. Last week, I shared a message about purging. I shared about how the things that we're going through right now are for a purpose, to strip us of the things that we no longer need and to help us see things differently, to get the things in our lives out of our lives so that God can use us and so that we can move forward in our lives and actually fulfill the destiny He had for us all along. If you haven't heard that program, please go listen to it. I got some emails that said, man, Nathan, that was a hard message in the second half. And folks, it's true. I did preach pretty hard in the second half of the message last week. I guess I was giving an open rebuke to Babylon America for desiring the entertainment of Babylon. You know, folks, I found myself with a righteous anger because America is in a state of decrepit morality. America has really receded in the morality. The morality of America has reached an all-time low, and it's embarrassing. The morality of a lot of Christians is at an all-time low, and that's embarrassing, and that's what I was addressing. But it was a hard message. If you haven't heard the library of messages, you can go to watchmanscry.com, go to the audio page. I have sermons in the first part of the page. Toward the top of the page, there's a link to all Survive to Thrive messages. Every program that I have done here on this network, you can find there to listen to. They're free. Download them and share them with your friends. But getting back to finding joy in the midst of doom, in spite of everything that I just said, I'm sure and I'm pretty positive that that's still not comforting for some that are in the midst of a season of darkness. So I want to talk about this for a moment. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, it's very, very important that we get a hold of this, my friends. If you're a Christian, if you belong to Jesus, you're confused, you're asking why. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, it explains why. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, what does that mean? That means that there is a time that has been allotted on earth for different chapters for mankind. God has times allotted for this planet. There's different times. In Galatians 4:4, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. That's talking about Jesus. When the fullness of time had come, Messiah was born. And He came here to be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, for our sins. On the cross, He died. Time became full. It's interesting that Galatians 4:4 says that. Full. What was it full of? What was the marker? What was the ingredient that made it full? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. It just says when time became full, at the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. So apparently there are vessels of time that God has predetermined for mankind. One of those vessels got full and Jesus was born. Now we're in a new segment of time, in the age of the new covenant of grace, where we receive Jesus by faith for His death on the cross, and we receive Him as Lord and Savior into our hearts, into our lives. We repent of our sins. We're in that time. When this age of the Gentiles is full, then we will get into another time. We're going to get into the time of the tribulation period, where the earth is really going to experience some darkness. And then after that time is fulfilled, Jesus will return and we'll have another time. So there are chapters of time on this planet. And that's what Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to every time there is a season. Now, if we are in the time of the age of grace, there are also seasons to every time there's a season. So there are seasons in this time that we're in right now, my friends. What are seasons? Well, in the natural, we have the four seasons. We have the springtime and the summer and the fall and winter. But there are also spiritual seasons that have been allotted. There are seasons where God visits the planet, and the Bible explains these things. He talks about the season of judgment that visits. Now, that is what is happening right now, my friends. We are in the season of judgment. I know a lot of times I will say, do you know what time it is? Do your friends know what time it is? It's a phrase that I use often, and I use it because it speaks the truth. We are in a certain part of God's clock. Now, I know that there are doubters. I'm sure that there are people that would say, Nathan, God is a God of grace. We're in the season of grace. He doesn't judge in this season. Now, I don't have time to go into this. I have articles that explain this on my website, watchmanscry.com. You can go to my audio page. I've gone into great detail about these things. God does bring judgment to the planet. It takes effort for a person to see that, though. So if you might be saying or thinking, Nathan, God is a God of grace and that's it, but you're unwilling to actually do some research and Bible study about it, then I'm not going to change your mind. And you're not going to learn about this, and you will not understand it. But for those of us that have eyes that are open and our ears are open, we want to understand this. Yes, we are in the age of grace, but in addition to that, we are also in the season of judgment. So if we are in the season of judgment, then we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to walk through that season? What mental condition, what emotional condition are we going to go through that season? Are we going to go through it with His favor, with His protection, His forgiveness, His provision, His help, His comfort, His peace? That is the challenge, my friends. That is the goal that I desire for all of us, for myself, for my family, for you. I desire that during this season, we would find comfort and peace. And I understand that for some people, it's still hard. They equate grace with anti-doom. Grace is just easy. But my friends, grace just means forgiveness. Grace means loving kindness. Grace means I love you and I forgive you for that thing that you did, for that action. I will forgive you. But it does not mean that God does not chastise. The book of Hebrews says this. So the problem that some are having is it's hard for them to receive this. It's hard for them to receive what season it is. And for those that cannot see it, maybe they'll never see it. I don't know. But I want to understand it because Ecclesiastes says there is a season. Now, if you have a chance to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, go read it when you have a chance, folks. In fact, if you have your Bibles right now, pause me if you're listening to the recording of this program. And let me just read the rest of it. It says, there is a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up, which means the harvest. That means there's a time to get off the couch and go plant into the garden. That means not being lazy. There is a time to do that. There's a time to kill, a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. And I want to concentrate on verse 4 right there. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A lot of people right now are weeping. A lot of people are grieving. A lot of you are in mourning because you've suffered great loss. And when you suffer loss, then it is time to weep, my friends. It is time to mourn because it's sad. And it's okay to weep and to mourn. In fact, I advise it for anyone going through hard times. It's good to do that. I would also advise this. If you've suffered great loss and you want to weep and mourn, why not turn it into a session of prayer and let your weeping and your mourning be to God? Go in your bedroom because you're overwhelmed. Shut the door and weep and mourn to God. Share these things with Him. Share these burdens with Him. Jesus said, cast your care upon me. Cast your care upon Him, my friends. Cast your burden upon Him. So there is a time to weep. There's a time to really just vent the sadness. But the second part of that verse says there's also a time to laugh and a time to dance. And this is what I want to say, folks. I have found with friends that have opened up to me and have really shared these things with me, I have found that, and this is also personally, I have found that when we allow ourselves to mourn to God and weep to God, and after the weeping and the mourning and the sadness has washed your heart, and when it's all gone and it's come out, there is a great release, especially when it's made in tears to God in prayer. There is a great moment, an encounter where God will come in with his loving hand, and he will comfort, and he will touch, and he will visit peace upon those that mourn and weep to him. And then he will bring his peace, and when his peace comes, then those individuals are actually able to experience joy and happiness. I have seen this over and over, my friends. Last week I was sharing about how I grew up in an old Assembly of God church, and I would see people at the altar just weeping and crying out to God. And after they were finished praying, and after they got a tissue and wiped their eyes and then sat back down, and after we were dismissed from service, the majority of people that had been weeping at the altar then started to fellowship. And we would go meet somewhere at maybe a Denny's or maybe in the gym of the church, and we would have tea and donuts and coffee or just whatever they had. And the majority of the people that were at the altar crying out to God were then experiencing great laughter, great joy, great peace. It was an afterglow, and we called it that, an afterglow, because it seemed that the presence of God was then upon all of us, because we had poured out our hearts and then God comforted. So for those of you that are experiencing sadness, when you're thinking about doom and thinking about preparation, if this feeling is constant, my friends, then may I offer some advice? May I offer the challenge that perhaps you need to spend some time crying out to God and allowing him to take your burden? And when he does that, my friends, it's amazing. It says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." What does that mean? That means that when you pour out your heart to God, you're crying out to him, and you need him to give you the peace and the rest and the comfort, you're drawing from his well. You're drawing from his water, his supernatural water. You're doing it in prayer. This is an illustration, a spiritual metaphor of what we do in prayer. We're drawing from his water, his comforting water. And when you do this, my friends, it says you will draw this water with joy. Isaiah 12:3. And my friends, this joy that I'm talking about, this joy that is mentioned in Isaiah 12:3, it is a supernatural joy. It cannot be explained. It cannot be described. I've experienced it thousands and thousands of times. Some of you may possibly wonder, Nathan, you know, you see all those scary visions and sights. How can you have joy in the midst of all that? How is it possible? Well, my friends, it's because of the formula of what I'm talking about. It's about going into our prayer closet and leaving our pride at the door, and then shutting the door, and then humbly seeking God. And when we can do this humbly, my friends, God shows up. He shows up with his presence. He shows up with his beautiful encounter, and he shows up with his peace. And you know, folks, I believe that it's very, very unfortunate that the traditional denominations of man have really squelched the ability for a lot of people to get a hold of God. Because a lot of denominations have taught that if anyone shows emotion when they go to church or when they're praying or when they are encountering God, then it's deceptive and it's not real. And you know, my friends, nothing can be further from the truth. If an individual experiences emotions, that means that they have broken through the fallow ground, the crust of the hardness of heart. And that is one of the biggest battles that faces so many Christians. A lot of people say, when I pray the heavens are brass, I don't feel anything. And if I have a chance to counsel them personally or privately, and I ask them some questions to try to isolate what the cause is, the root cause seems to be that the layer of the crust of pride is what blocks communication with God. And if you have pride, my friends, it's going to be hard to get a hold of God. God loves a broken and a contrite heart. That's in Psalms 51. A broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. We read in the scriptures that it was said that King David was a man after God's own heart. Most of you that have been Christians long enough have heard this. What did that mean? Why did God say that? A man after God's own heart. You know what it meant, folks? It meant that David had an unquenchable desire, a thirst, And this thirst that David had led him to many, many sessions where he passionately sought God with tears, with brokenness, with contriteness, and with sincerity. And he dialogued these sessions with God, and we can read about them in the book of Psalms. Many of the Psalms were David's sessions with God, where he poured out his heart, and they became the scriptures to comfort all of us. You know, folks, think about this. If David didn't have an open heart that was willing to be that vulnerable and transparent with God, would he have been able to have those sessions and experiences with God? Would they have become the Psalms that we read? And would David have been called a man after God's own heart? I submit this to you, my friends. No, he wouldn't. And no, it would not have happened. So getting back to the challenge of dealing with doom, dealing with the anxiety, dealing with the overwhelming fears and the what ifs, the what do I do's, all of those things can be dealt with if we learn how to submit them to God. He desires to come down with his loving hand and touch your heart and comfort your spirits. That's his desire. That's what he wants for you. After that happens, the joy that follows will be a supernatural joy. And that's what I pray for you. That's what I hope for you. And that's what I wish for you. It's about the joy, my friends. So get a hold of God, my friends. Learn to do this. It takes diligence. It takes discipline. But learn how to do this. As the times grow darker and more challenging, my friends, the news reports are waiting to be written. We're going to see a lot of shocking news stories in the months ahead. We're going to see some stories that are going to take our breath away. They're going to make us sad. So ignoring the challenge of what time it is right now will not do you any favors. The best way to deal with all of these things is to change our relationship with God and to strengthen it. As some of you may feel distant from God because perhaps you have sinned and you're disappointed with yourself, the devil's accusing you, he's telling you to give up. My friends, don't listen to that. Take your Bibles, close the door, and go into your prayer closet. Folks, I know that for the person that has not learned how to seek God, if you were raised in a denomination that did not encourage this, I know that some of these ideas can seem a little odd and strange and unfamiliar, but my friends, the spirit within you desires to have fellowship with God. And the most potent, most powerful condition that a human soul can be in when seeking God is a broken and a contrite heart. Now, the world resists this. The world desires to be strong and self-confident. The world preaches about having pride, about showing strength, the arm of the flesh. And that concept is in opposition to God. The arm of the flesh is an enemy of God. And if someone approaches God in the arm of the flesh and in self-confidence, they will not, I repeat, my friends, they will not find the presence of God. So in order to do this takes being vulnerable to a spirit that you cannot see, to a God that is invisible. And at first, it will seem alien. It will feel odd. Nathan, you're telling me to really be vulnerable to someone that's not there? That's just weird to me. And in the natural, folks, I know that that's true. You're right. In the natural, it sounds foolish. But the foolish things of this world are the road and the highway to find God. So it takes effort to do these things I'm talking about. I know that it does, my friends. It takes labor. And in Hebrews 4, chapter 11, it says, "Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest." It's talking about the rest. It says that there is therefore a rest for the people of God. What is the rest? It's solitude with God, having God's peace, experiencing God's joy and happiness. Folks, you can have this joy in the midst of the present chaos. It's not automatic. It does take effort and it does take your labor. So my friends, allow this time of earnest devotion and this method of earnest devotion become a part of your prayer life with God. To those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and to those that do get a hold of this truth, it'll turn your life around. It'll give you strength like you never had before, my friends. So I want to encourage everyone to learn these things. Weeping may last for a night, but the shout of joy comes in the morning. And the fruit of joy comes from the water of tears. It is the blossom of the tears of God's people. It's a supernatural joy, my friends. Get a hold of it. You will not be disappointed. Well, folks, it looks like we've run out of time. Share these messages with your friends. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Lay your burden down. lay your burden down. Take your troubled soul, your tired mind, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your worries to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Take your weary life, your heavy load, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your failures to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down.
Lay your burden down.
You've been trying. Forgiven, but you know that